You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone back to Lean Local. This is the show where we do what our title says. We lean into the local community here. And you know, we talk about a lot of things. You know, we've talked about, I've said the people on here from the Brown County Suicide Prevention, the Brown County Volunteers Department that handles, there's hundreds and hundreds of people who volunteer. We've had the county executive on. Today, we're doing something near and dear to all our hearts, and that's we're going to talk Brown County Taxpayers Association. And I don't know if you even know this group exists. It's been around for a long time. And they're, one of their leaders is with us today. Rod Golham is the secretary now, was president of the Brown County Taxpayers Association at one time. And this is a group of people who are concerned about taxes in Brown County. Is that a fair statement? Or I'm going to ask you what your mission is, but I want to introduce you first, though, because I've known you for some time. This guy's an executive, a retired corporate executive now, was with Procter & Gamble for many years. You still serve, and I was instrumental in having you and loved having you on the Police and Fire Commission here in Green Bay. And you're still on that commission?
Still continue to serve.
It's really you that your board, the commissioner, really does the final hiring and dismissal of police and fire, right?
Yes, we're the last step in the hiring process for new firefighters and new police officer candidates. But I think our biggest service or our biggest role is in the hiring of the chiefs. We do that process from start to finish.
And that is an unbelievably important job in any city, but especially here because we have a lot going on. Hey, the other thing, I was just talking to my wife. You're very involved. You were very involved with the Scouts.
Yes. Yeah.
Are you still?
My wife and I both were. We still are. We're not as heavily involved as we were in the past, but that was something that we got involved when our son was going up through that and got to work with a lot of great people.
You did.
A lot of hard workers and good people. And so that we've stayed involved with it since he's become an adult and moved on.
You did a great job with that organization. But the one that you're here to talk about today is the Brown County Taxpayers Association. And, I'm not sure a lot of our listeners know you exist, even though you've been around for what?
About 40 years.
About 40 years.
Yeah, we were formed in 86, and actually we were formed by the Chamber of Commerce. Huh. So I wasn't in the organization at that time or wasn't one of the charter members, but of those folks that were have said that the Chamber wanted an organization to kind of represent the interests of taxpayers. So they helped found us. John Nussbaum was our first president.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the chamber provided support staff for us as we got started. And then gradually over the years, we weaned away from the chamber and became our own organization. So we're considered, I have to look it up here to make sure I do the term right. We're an unincorporated, nonprofit, nonpartisan organization. So we're run by a set of bylaws. We have an elected leadership team.
I think the chamber's gotten away from concerned about taxes too. So tell me, the Brown County Taxpayers Association. So why do you exist? I want to talk about your membership in just a second, but what is the mission statement? Is it to lower taxes? Is it to hold people accountable? Is it to give information to the people who write laws and make our taxes go up and up and up? Or what do you do?
It's really meant to be a voice. We promote individual freedom and responsibility. So we want people to be involved. We want people to understand. We're not going to be the ones that are going out there and drive your taxes down. We want to help educate people on their local government, what's going on, fiscal responsibility. But we really, we hope to educate people to understand what's happening and to get involved in the government process, the election process, the tax process.
So who are your members? Like, who's in the organization? Like, how many people, and are they...
Right now, we generally say we'd have about 100 members, and it's hard to pinpoint because we have individual memberships, we have family memberships, and we have corporate memberships.
Okay.
So throughout that, we generally say that right now we're working at about 100 members.
And what the mix of people? You got farmers, renters, who's in there?
Probably a wide scale of everyone.
Good. We have that's what you want.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
You just don't want one.
Yes, we do.
Lane, one group that's advocating for or against something.
One of the things we would like to do, like almost every organization on the face of the earth, is to get more younger people involved.
Yeah,
and that's I know we've seen that in Scouts, we've seen that in church, we've seen that in other things where
Kiwanis, Optimists,
harder,
they come in here and I think their missions are true, and they really want it to happen, but it can't happen without people and. You want to get young people. But people say, well, they're too busy. Well, we're busy too. You know what I mean? I mean, we all had kids. We all had jobs. We all had, responsibilities with church and
that's
soccer.
True.
But I think they can be involved. You got to make it a priority, and they can only, it's difficult. There's a lot going on. And I think that maybe, but my kids who live in Nashville and New York, they're all involved in their community. And I think that's great, and I take a little bit of credit for that, but it also is there's a less chance they're going to move back here. Because you got a good job and you got a good place to live, but then if you're involved in your community, it's like, it's going to take some real dynamite to get you out of there.
Yeah.
So, which I'm fine with that. I'm glad they're happy.
That's my excuse when my wife would like to go somewhere warm for several weeks in the winter. I said, no, we're too connected in the community. We can't do that.
My wife would leave without me, so yeah. So, you look at the Brown County, 260,000 people in the community in 26 municipalities. What concerns do the taxpayers in Brown County raise the most often right now? And I want to know if that has changed in your 30 years of service or 20.
I think what I've seen over that time is the people in leadership across the councils and the boards, the level of partnership and cooperation and compromise has become less and less. And I think that's part of the issue where we struggle to get people involved in local government. One thing is the time, but the other is you get in there and the negative campaigning, the
right
pieces of that, people say, I just don't want to do that anymore. So the old days of cooperation and partnerships and compromise, it's getting tougher and tougher to see that.
I would agree. And I think that's reflected a little bit in the candidate, the number of candidates. Two or three weeks ago, I had Pat Moynihan on, who is the clerk of the county and oversees the elections, and Celestine Jeffries, who is the clerk of the city and oversees elections. And we were talking and pulled up some data, and there's 109 positions open right now in Brown County. Right? 26 county board, 12 city council. I think there's a couple things in Howard, DePierre, Suamico, and then there's some other municipalities that I'm not as plugged into as you heard of them, but you don't even know where they are. But the 109 positions open, they're thinking 67% will go unopposed. That's not good.
Yeah.
Because, whose agenda is it?
We want people to be able to have a choice.
Yeah, and taxes are something that if people aren't concerned about, they should get concerned about. I want to talk about taxes. I got a lot of questions more specifically, and I brought my tax bills with me. Not that you can fix them, but they're too damn high. But taxes, I went to a seminar. I was talking to my wife about this. Oh, I don't know. I think I was on the county board. So it was like 20 years ago.
Okay.
A guy in Green Bay hosted the event, and it was kind of a VIP event. And he brought in somebody from the Federal Reserve, some big shot from DC.
Okay.
This guy painted a picture of gloom and doom. Like, if we don't do something, really scary stuff. China's going to call their debt, just all these crazy things. I mean, you walked out of that seminar with like a wake. I mean, it was like, holy mackerel, we're doomed. Well, nothing's happened. The debt's gone up. And I just think taxes, people are just like, there's nothing I can do about it. Or that's the way it is. Or if there's no pain with taxes, there's something wrong that taxes keep going up and up. You just just the last week, you saw the school board, you know, and the city went up, and then the county went up, and isn't anybody saying, wait, what? Can we ever level this off? Can we ever reduce spending? Or is it just like, that's the way it is? Well, and what do you guys think? You're the organization.
Yeah, I personally see it as the balance between what government should provide, what government does provide, and what people want government to provide. So I see more and more people look to the government as the solution. And if you're doing that, that's going to cost more money. And so one of the tenets of our organization is limited government, individual accountability, people taking care of their own things. You probably have a better idea of where you want your money to go than the government does.
Oh, do I?
So I think that's a big issue. Is if you expect more from the government, it's going to cost more. And if there's nothing to say, stop, let's not do this, that is just going to continue.
And right, Friedman always say that, you know, if the government does it, it's at least twice as much. Dependency on the government, I don't really want to spend too much time on that, but that is not a good thing because it kind of takes away people's individual, like, entrepreneurial spirit. And it's not good to rely on anything, quite honestly.
Yes. And we had, I won't say names, but we had a congressman come in and speak at one of our events. And he talked about some of the committees he was on. And this was a conservative person. And he talked about, with his committees, they have a revenue problem. And it just struck me that...
Wait a minute.
He's gone to Washington, and he's got sucked into that the government is the answer, and the problem is revenue, not
spending,
going in and doing things. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and it's tough, but, you know, there's... Yeah, I want to talk local, but I want to talk national. Both sides are to blame on this crazy debt we're in. It is. These Republicans have voted for spending till hell wouldn't have it, as does the Democrats. And, you know, they can preach something, but even President Trump in his first term, you know, he signed one of the biggest budgets we've had. It's like, I'll never do that again. I was like, yeah. Why'd you do it the first time?
Yeah.
So, back to the county, though. And again, the municipalities, when it comes to the tax, the mayor, the county executive, they propose a budget, right?
Yes.
And then the budget, I've done that, and the budget goes into the hands of the council to be debated and then come back and be voted on.
Yep.
Do you step in there, or do you guys advise before saying, hey, look, you know, our taxes have been going up higher than the cost of inflation or higher... Do you advise these executives who really, truly write the budget? They take credit for it, but it means written by somebody else in their department. But
there will be times when we've been involved in those things. And probably the biggest one of the past few years was when we opposed the 0.5% Brown County sales tax.
Well, we're getting to that.
To the packer tax. So there are certain things that we come in, get involved with. Our monthly meetings... We have a speaker, and we will generally bring in a speaker that talks about taxing issues or voting issues or participation issues to try to get more people knowledgeable and involved in that process. Okay. But really, when you get down to it, who are people going to listen to? They're going to listen to their constituents. So a couple...
Don't you hold a thought. I want to get back to constituents and make sure they're in the loop. All right. Hey, we're talking to Rod Goheim, who is the secretary of the Brown County Taxpayers Association, a great organization here in Brown County. We'll be right back.
Baby, if I stopped, it would make the show. Can't keep up with my rhythm, though. They keep trying, too quick for the lines they throw. I walk to the sound of my own drum. It goes, they go, we go.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, welcome back, everyone. This is Lean Local. Jim Schmidt, our special guest in-house, is Rod Goldham, who is the secretary of the Brown County Taxpayers Association. This is an organization, it's a nonprofit organization that gets together monthly. They bring in great speakers. And all members are welcome. I mean, you look at their memberships, it's homeowners, renters, businesses, farmers. I mean, it's people who care about taxes. And if you don't, you should, because taxes are becoming a bigger and bigger part of your expenses. And while taxes are important, right, we have basic services that I think government should be doing. Are we getting into things that maybe the private sector should do? Are we spending money that isn't necessary? But if you get the council and they all agree, you know, collectively, oh, this is great, and they aren't as connected with their constituents as one would like them to be, maybe there's some things that if we would speak up a little bit or say, hold on a little bit, is that really that necessary? Is that a priority? Is that truly why we exist? And the Brown County taxpayers kind of fill that role. I think they need more members. I'm not saying young, but more members to just help that organization get the word out, because again, you know, I'm gonna age myself, but when I was mayor, these guys were in my office too much. They were in my office a lot, and we visited and we talked, and I could be honest, I agreed with a lot of the stuff you did. I liked a lot of your leadership and some of the things we were working on. But hey, before we get back to this, I want to talk about that Brown County 0.5% sales tax. But before we do, this show has sponsors, right? And we've got a couple great sponsors. We got, you know, some other ones coming on January 1st. But one of our longtime sponsors is Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Calowerts, that's just a great company. They just moved to De Pere, French Road, huge building, 80,000 square feet. And I love them for a couple of reasons. One is I have all Pella windows and doors in my house.
So do we.
Okay. But you're an executive. You probably did them all at once. I had to do them over the time because but once they're there for the rest. They're just great. I mean, and they do the installation. What I like, I don't know if they came over to your house, but there's so many different styles and designs. And my house is 115 years old. Yeah. And I know you live on the east
30,
side.
But, yeah.
All right. So right. Different windows, different styles. And then there's this whole thing on, you know, front doors, that's the welcome mat, and it kind of is. And they've got some really cool styles. So they come over with their little laptop, 90-minute, it's free, consulting, and they go through everything with you. And then they've got some great pricing programs too, financing programs. Because, you know, if you're going to do them all at once, that's...
Yep.
I mean, but you're paying great quality, great installation, right? I mean, it's worth every penny of it. Yep. But I think we did like two or three a year, maybe four for a number of years. But anyway, they're all done. We love it. Again, you know, they've got these architects or these designers that come in and help you out. They've got just a plethora of different designs and different time periods. And they're also, the other reason I love Pella is, yeah, I like to do business with people who give back to our community. And they're all there. I mean, over at the new community shelter where I work, they donated all the windows. Like when I went and saw them to ask for a donation, which is what I do. Mm-hmm. And he goes, you know, we love what you guys do. And we've been supporters of the new community shelter for years. And we'd like to donate the windows. I'm like, John, time out, man. I said, we have a lot of windows, not like some other places. And there's over $300,000 of windows they donated. That's pretty awesome.
That is.
So anyway, and they do a lot of other things too, but that's just one that has been recent, near dear to my heart. So anyway, Pella Windows and Doors, it's PellaWI.com. Just go on their website, take a look. And if you want some information, if you want to set up an appointment to get together with them or look at their beautiful showroom, which is brand new. You can see it when you drive on 41 in De Pere. New signage. They just did the ribbon cutting just a few months ago. Anyway, support that company. They support the community and they'll be great in supporting your home. So, the county. We all live in the county. Then this show broadcasts really in the county. We bleed over a little bit to some other counties, but we're by and large a Brown County show. Brown County instituted a 0.5% sales tax. And I was not crazy about that. And nor were you. I remember talking to you about that. But we're like, it's going to be for 6 years. And what it's going to do, well, first of all, it was instituted for the Packers. And right, they ran that and built that and the taxpayers paid for, what, 60% of that, I think. But anyway, it was, and then the seat tax paid for the rest of it. But anyway, that was a 0.5% sales tax, and then it was set to expire. It's going to be over. Just vote for this thing. And a lot of us voted for it. Then the county got their mitts on it, and they said, well, let's keep it for a little while and fix up a couple things for 6 years. And right. And then didn't they do it again for another 28 years? Tell me about it. And how that, well, did that happen, like at night?
Well, I don't know if that happened at night necessarily, but
well, it wasn't publicly
when we stepped in, well, I think it was, there was discussions that I recall seeing across the board. It wasn't talked as lengthily as it was when they did the first one. But that first one, when we saw that was the proposal and what it was going to be used for, when the law that allowed counties to institute a county sales tax went into place, it was initially intended to reduce property taxes. Everybody was complaining about the property taxes, and so a sales tax was a method to reduce that. So within the law, it says that it can only be used to reduce property tax. Well, that was interpreted by a former attorney general to say, well, you can use the money for anything that you would ordinarily use property tax to pay. So in general, he said you could use it for new spending as well. And we felt
we're going to get back to this because ended up suing him, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay. I want to talk about that because I wish you would have won. We're going to be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Lean Local. This show is... Oh, I had to take a little break. I had to walk around the block, get my heart rate up. We're talking about taxes. The Brown County Taxpayers Association Secretary, Rod Goldheim, is in. This guy's a retired executive from Procter & Gamble. He serves Police and Fire Commission. He's got great kids, very involved in the community with the Scouts. So this is a good guy who is, you got the right name for the association, but do we have the right people in it? And Rod is one of them, and I'm so glad he's here. Before we went to break, we were talking about the Brown County sales tax. And as you remember, those of us who've been around back in, 97, 98, Packers, we might leave, but we need a new stadium. So we had this long, long debate, and there were meetings and TV and all this stuff to institute a 0.5% sales tax. And we did. We voted for it. The residents of Green Bay went to the polls and said, yeah, raise my taxes 0.5% because I want the Packers to be successful. I want them to succeed. So we went out there and voted for it. And it was a close vote, 53-47. I mean, yes. It wasn't like, now you talk to everybody, it's like, well, I voted for that. I voted for that. You think it was like 80%. It's like, no, that's not the way it was. And they were a little nervous about that. And there was no plan B. And Bob Harlan was out knocking on doors. And that was on the county board. That was a cool time. But it was so debated. And I like that. I mean, I love debate. We did that. Walmart with the roller coaster. I don't mind debates. I want to hear what people got to say. And eventually you got to make a decision though, right? And we can't debate till hell won't have it. So anyway, so we passed this thing and then they said, well, it's going to expire in the X amount of years when we have X amount of money. And so we did that, got the reserve set up and then it's like, well, it's tax is going to expire. And the county said, wait a minute, 0.5% sales tax that generates 25, 30 million a year. We could use that. So let's just continue it. No public vote. No real debate, although you remember it being debated more than I do. But I don't remember it being debated because I know I was pissed about it. I didn't think it was that necessary. But then I did say to my county board supervisor and a ton of other people that if you're going to extend it, make sure you extend it fairly, that 43% goes to the city of Green Bay. We're 43% of the population. 46% of the equalized value. But you don't take our hard-earned money and spend it on stuff that we that doesn't benefit us. So allocate some of it. Yeah. We'll do that with that. Of course, they get in there and they don't do it. And then I think it was for 6 years, and then it went for another, I think, 20. It's out there now. And for like 28 years, right?
Yeah, it sunset, and then it was due to sunset, and then it was extended.
And who extended that? I mean, did you get a call?
The county board at that time.
I know they did. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So it's extended now, and with still no guardrails. And people take, oh, the county, you know, we're holding your line on property taxes. Well, so my property taxes and the county, not this year, it went up 3%, but last year I think it went down $14. But the sales tax is $150. I'm paying more in sales tax. And you guys thought that if there was going to be a sales tax, it should go to property tax relief. So you sued the county.
Well, the way the law is written, that if county enacts a 0.5% sales tax, it has to be for property tax relief. The debate was, I think it was when Jim Doyle was attorney general, he said, well, that means anything that you were going to use, that you would use property tax to pay for, could be paid for via the county sales tax. So that opened the door to new spending. And we disagreed with that. So during the time it was being discussed in the board, we split up all the county board members among our members, and we each called a handful of county board members and said we thought this vote would be illegal based upon how the statute was written.
Right.
So we encouraged them to vote no, or at a minimum, take it to a referendum, because taking it to a referendum would have alleviated the legality issue.
Right.
Which I totally supported that referendum.
Yes. I remember that.
Yes. And so that was our push. We don't think it's right. Don't do it. Or at least take it to referendum. They chose not to do that. In discussions with some of the attorneys from the Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty in Wisconsin, they do a lot of work for people that challenge the government. They've got a good track record. They looked at the data and they said, yeah, we agree with you. We think it's right. So they filed suit. So I want to make sure that I'm clear that we went to the board members first,
right,
and expressed our concern and suggested some things, because I don't like the fact that it seems like nationally, anytime something happens, it gets challenged in court, and we can't fight this stuff in court. We have to fight this stuff by talking amongst each other.
Right, and I made some of those phone calls as well, and I was very disappointed in the fact that it didn't go to a referendum, that they really didn't listen, and that it got extended. One of the supervisors came to see me, not mine, but a supervisor came to see me and said he's running for county board. And I'm like, okay, so I'm going to fight for the city and, you know, make sure that we get this. And then he goes in and votes the other way. He votes like, just extend it with no guardrails. So I wrote him a letter. I said, I want my money back. I gave him $250. So I want my money back. He goes, well, what do you mean you want your money back? I said, because you didn't do what you said you were going to do. He goes, well, I supported you all the time. I'm like, that's because I did what I said I was going to do. So then he said, I don't know. So he didn't have the money. And I said, well, just when you get the money, send it to a charity that does what they're going to do, say what they're going to do. But yeah, it just is frustrating because, you know, the zoo right now, I don't want to digress too much, but the zoo is looking at fundraising. The Children's Museum is looking at a fundraising. And I'm thinking, with this $40 million they're generating, don't you think we could spend a little bit more on quality of life stuff? I mean, if our property taxes aren't going down. I mean, my bill's right here, 3.1. I mean, do you guys weigh in on that as a Brown County Taxpayers Association? Like, what are you guys doing with all that money?
Not really from that amount of specificity to get into that. So, but one of the things that we do, and we touched on this when we were talking earlier. So you said, well, do people consult you? Do they listen to you? So picture this: you got a 100-person organization that's going to a county board or to a city council or a village board and saying, we think you should do this or should not do that. That has very little weight. There's 100 people for the municipalities. They may not be in it. What carries weight is when constituents go to their elected officials. And that's why it's so important to have people involved in that election process and the candidate process and running for office and doing that thing.
But if you know what you do, smart guy, you got a good organization. To get to the constituents, that's one of your challenges.
Yes.
But if let's say this radio show speaks to more constituents than the 100 people who come to your meeting, So where do you believe that Brown County is spending efficiently, and where do you believe that's wasteful or poor spending? Can you?
You know, since I'm representing our organization, I don't think I can give an answer for that for our organization. We try to promote effective tax policy.
Yeah.
I think the fact that on the positive side, the fact that some of it was used to drive down debt is the right thing to do,
mm-hmm.
because debt will ultimately kill you, especially in a high interest time.
Okay, they paid off $4 million of debt. Where's the other $36 million? That's what I want to know.
Okay.
I mean, I get it. Right. I totally get that paying off debt. Although I do want to say, I'll be careful here because I'm a politician, but I just think if you build a building that's going to, or a road that's going to last 40 years, maybe you don't have to pay cash for that. Maybe our kids can pay for a little of that too. Like, I think a small amount of manageable debt is okay. I think debt-free is sure. Who wouldn't want to be debt-free? I mean, it took me forever to become debt-free. But I just think that there's certain things. I wanted a decent house and I took out a loan on it. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't take out a loan on a car. But I just think that debt is important. But I think there's other things that, you know, we talk about, you know, losing population in the city. I know the county's doing pretty well. But and I just think it's those little things. Like I do. I think like Nashville, I think there's some cities that have some great amenities that I wish we could have. And I know Nashville's bigger than we are, but I'm talking even South Bend, just some great trails and parks.
No, I understand your point.
Rochester.
The things that draw people in and draw businesses in that are going to hire more people.
But do they really, before you move somewhere, do you really say, what's your debt? What's your debt? I think they would rather look at, like, where are my kids going to, what are they going to do during the afternoon? What's your park system like? What's your crime like? I mean, I think those are the things that people care about. I mean, debt's important. I don't want to discount debt, but it's not the top priority. I think if you survey people, they're going to say, yeah, I don't want to spend my tax money on interest. That's crazy. Like the United States is doing now. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I just wish, if you guys know the answer, we got to figure out a way to get it to the constituents.
Yeah. So if you're asking me, what is the answer? I can't give that to you.
Yeah. All right.
With the mix. You know, I think to your question, what do people look for? I think the first thing they look for is the community safe.
So totally.
Is it safe? And like you say, amenities, are there things for me to do, for my family to do?
There's been surveys. There's been plenty of surveys on it. And when I go talk to schools, I ask kids, you know, what do you guys think? You know, your parents right here. What's the number one thing? It's always safety. That is always number one. And if I think if we can check that box, then you just got to start moving down.
Yep.
But and taxes is on that list, but it's not even in the top five. Now that depends on the survey. Education is way.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Safety, education.
Right. Yeah, you really want to have that. And of course, you want an economy where people can work, and a diverse economy is good. I mean, you don't want to. You know, sometimes you go to these cities, and it's like, oh, you got to work at the mill. I mean, here it's great: healthcare, manufacturing, packaging. You know, we just really have a very diverse economy here, and I think that's very, very healthy. And that was not done by one administration. That's just done by a lot of smart people that made that work.
Although I will say, when I moved to Wisconsin 40-some years ago, Green Bay 40-some years ago, the Press Gazette would publish the top 10 employers in town. And, you know, the top five or six were always paper mills. Yeah. It was always manufacturing.
This was
a manufacturing community.
Yeah.
And then over time, it shifted to healthcare and government.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not crazy about the government, but that healthcare is awesome. I mean, we have
great healthcare.
Oh, God, do we ever.
But just how things have changed. So you think
that's true.
Producing, manufacturing, creating those, it's a different world now.
And it's different. And speaks to the Dow Jones Industrial Average too. You look at who was on there 30 years ago, who's on there today. I mean, it's a different world, service industry. But so tell me, do you think, and I'm kind of hearing that your organization is a little bit more education than it is advocating. It is, but do you think that taxpayers fully understand bonding, future taxes, how that all works?
No. And I think, I would venture that a lot of people you ask don't even know who their older person is or their supervisor or anything like that. So No, I don't think they do. And that's one of the things we try to do. So yeah, we'll bring in speakers of interest. So when voting integrity was a big issue, we brought in some city clerks to share with our group. And our meetings are open to everyone, members or non-members. So we meet the third Thursday of the month at the Village Grill at 1 o'clock. Anyone can come in. And we try to have speakers that speak to issues that are important to our people. Yeah. And then oftentimes in our newsletter, our cover letter will cover something like that, or we publish our notes in our newsletter as well, so that people have that.
Right. One of my 26th resolution is going to be to get you a bigger voice. I think people need to, it's not on the front page. They don't really talk about taxes, especially the Press Gazette. So we got to work on that. I have 3 more pages of questions. We're not going to have enough time. Right. However, we're going to be right back. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt with Secretary of the Brown County Taxpayers Association, Rod Goldham. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Everyone, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, and we are talking something very important to our local community here, and that is taxes. We all live in Brown County, or most of us that are listening live in Brown County, and Brown County has an organization that has been around for some time, and they were, I'm not saying they're less active, but they were, I just remember them being a lot more active when I was in office, but maybe that's because I spent more time with you guys. But the Brown County Taxpayers Association is a group of county residents, county citizens, about 100 members. They meet every the third Thursday of the month.
Correct.
At
the Village Grill.
They have good food there.
1 o'clock. Yeah, they have excellent food.
At the Village Grill. And you're all welcome and to join this organization. And I know many of you are members of a lot of organizations. I said, Rod, how much is it to join? He's like, $15. I'm like, a month? He goes, no, a year. Okay, that is not a lot of money to get this kind of information that you have that needs to get out, right?
Yeah, we try to practice what we preach, so we keep the dues low, and we're very judicious about how we spend it.
Yeah, it would be nice if some of these governments would look at that $15 and say, wait, that was back in the 70s. It's like, oh, get your tax rate back to the 70s. But, hey, we're talking at break, and we only got like 6 minutes before we have to wrap this up. But I asked you about your concerns regarding just communication and taxpayers, and you put a lot of emphasis on the local elected official. You think that's an important piece of this puzzle?
Yes, it is. They say all government is local, or all politics is local.
Right.
The fact that we have so many offices that will likely be unopposed in the next election, I think is very concerning, because you want people to have a choice, and you want them to be educated, and so that's part of our mission, is to educate people or to encourage people to get involved in that process. We don't endorse candidates. But at the beginning of every meeting, anyone that's a candidate that happens to show up in the meeting, they have the floor to talk a little bit about their platform or anything. They can pass out literature, and then members at the meeting then can follow up with them individually. So we don't endorse candidates. We deal with issues, and we try to educate people and encourage them to get involved.
If the candidates, and it's too bad when it's unopposed, because the information doesn't get out there, right? I mean, if you're unopposed, maybe you'll do a newsletter, but you're not going to do 5 newsletters. You're not going to campaign as hard. But why do you think, I mean, I think government is very rewarding. I mean, I absolutely loved it. I absolutely loved it. And people, even today, I was 6 years ago, and they still come up and they have a good memory of something that we did or something that we met at. And why do you think we have these 67%, of these elected positions unopposed?
I think it's a combination of things. One, younger people don't get involved as much in things anymore, and we talked about that earlier. I think the risk you put out to yourself and your family because of all the negative nature of campaigning is an issue for people. And we have, when we've had candidates or we've had elected officials come in and talk to us, we talk about that. We said, this is really turning people off. And their answer is almost always the same. Yes, everyone hates it, but they're effective. It's a sad commentary, but that's what they'll say. And so that's what you get. So even in the Green Bay City Council election, on both sides of the aisle, there was dark money coming in from organizations putting out hit pieces on candidates from, it's a nonpartisan election, but hitting on people that would be on either side of the aisle that weren't true, and their opposing candidates, said, hey, I didn't have anything to do with this. I don't endorse this. I don't condone this. But it happened because there's money out there and people try to do that to impact things.
Why though would outside money, out of state money or dark money, as you call it, that can't really be tracked, what do they care?
Well, yeah, it's when I say dark money, that was the example of that city council election. But in the other elections, like for the state offices that we just had the elections last November, the campaign finance reports show that. But if you I think the Press Gazette ran an article, if you would look at the amount of $1,000 plus donations that went into to the state representatives and state Senate candidates from out of state, I mean, even Hollywood socialites are providing money to someone. So why is that? And then again, you've got all that money coming in and what it's used for. It's used for negative campaigns to try to destroy the opposing candidate.
And the sad thing about all of that is that it works.
Yeah.
You know what? That's the sad part. I mean, money.
Very much so, yep.
But money is, the root of all evil. It's nice, but you got to manage it properly. Well, I tell you what, I sure appreciate what you're doing. This Brown County Taxpayers Association is a big deal. I'm going to join. I want to come. Great. I want to learn a little bit more. I read your newsletters and see who your speakers are, and they're all pretty good speakers. But I just think, and you have good information. It's, you know what I mean? That's what I like about you guys. It's accurate, good information. It's not, a political agenda. It's nonpartisan, quite honestly, right?
Yes.
I mean, and people need to know because this taxing's we got to get our arms around it. Here, the county, but federal government, man.
Oh, yes.
Those guys, that's out of control out there. And they got to bend that curve. And I hope they do. And maybe you should talk to your wife. Go to D.C. The weather's nice. And, get out there and fix some stuff at the Federal Reserve and those other guys that do all this.
With all the skeletons in the closet. No.
I'm staying right here. That's two of us.
But thank you for your service and what you've done here.
Yeah, it's been great. Love it. It's a great city, great community, great county because of people like you. All right. Well, thank you, Rod, for being here.
Do we have 30 more seconds?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Not to pander to the host, but I think when you look at is taxes going up and how you can cut costs. The thing that you started when you combined the Green Bay Fire Department with the village of Alloway and caused that to occur, and then that morphed into another agreement with Bellevue. That is the way communities can look at this and say, how can we?
Now, why don't you start with that? We're out of time. You're the best. Thank you, Rod. It's Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.